Welcome back to another episode of Teeing It Up with CMV, the number one sports podcast in the Southeast Metro Detroit region. I'm your host, Connor, the C of CMV. Back as always with the V. Vladdy, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. I had a good, nice, enjoyable weekend. Didn't watch a lot of college football. Made up for that by watching a ton of NFL. But we actually went camping with some friends for a birthday, and that was kind of something that we don't typically do, so it was nice to kind of throw a wrench in the usual plans and see something different. Had a fun time kind of up in Lake Huron, so good enjoyable time. But
Vladdy, outdoor guy now?
No, not at all. We actually ended up, me and a friend, we ended up actually leaving the night of because he had to work the next morning, and I was like, you know, just take me with you.
Okay. I love that you got some fresh air though.
No, I got some fresh air. We were slinging a little one of those little, not even a Nerf football, but it was one of those like little propeller things that just flies.
Yeah.
We were slinging that through the in the water. Super fun, but yeah, it's always good to get outside.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to end anytime soon. At least here in Michigan, like it's been super.
No, we've
nice,
got some.
To be honest,
it's
great September, but. As we kind of get further into the fall here, definitely running low on those weekends. So,
yep. How are you? How have you been?
I was good, man. Went to another college football game this weekend. I'm good. Wasn't much of a game. I was at a wedding this weekend, which was also good. So happy times, lots of love. Love is in the air. Football's in the air. I'm in love with football, just word associating right now. But can't complain. If you can hear my voice, I definitely still sound a little stuffed up. Like I was really sick towards the end of last week. And I'm still a little stuffed up from that. But glad to be on the other side of that. And glad to be with you on an earlier episode. We kind of talked about doing Wednesday episodes, Thursday for you guys listening. But with the schedules this week, yes, we both have lives outside of this podcast. Believe it or not, we're doing a Monday episode, Tuesday drop for you guys this week. So it's going to be another episode of football, week two in the NFL, week three in college. Why don't we just get right into it? We'll start like we always do with our team, the Michigan State Spartans. I don't know if there's too much to add on this one. They played an HBCU FCS school. It was 28-0 at the half. In Childs didn't even play in the second half, and they would go on to win 40-0. I was there. It wasn't much of a game. This HBCU school, Prairie View A&M, struggled to really move the ball at all, to be honest. My really only note, Aiden Childs is inaccurate as they come. It's still very raw, and seeing it in person for the first time, it's kind of like for the third straight week, like we're going to say, it's a big arm. There's a lot of potential, but man, is it still very, very raw, even against much lesser competition. My only other real note was they had the pick six. I don't know if you saw, they had a 105-yard pick six. One of the cooler plays I've seen live, even like given the fact that it was up 28-0 in the second quarter, but yeah, I don't know. You're on to BC, a team that we'll kind of get to. They were kind of the biggest story, I guess, of the day, I think, or the week, I think, in college football as far as them moving to Missouri, but playing Missouri competitive. I think it's going to be you're going to be there for that one. So it's going to be a tough game for State. I believe I saw that they were a 6-point dog to start, which is actually a little closer than I thought. So curious to see where the line goes this week. The only problem for State is they continue to lose guys. They lost another starting offensive lineman yesterday or Saturday. And I don't know how you let that happen against a team that pretty much most of the starters were done by half, or not soon after. But yeah, I guess you want anything to add on Michigan State before we move on to the rest of the college football?
I watched like 7 plays of this game, just like vaguely whenever I had a chance to like look down at my phone as we were out and about. So there's nothing I can add. I didn't know about the additional injury, umpteenth injury, if you will, at this point. Was it a serious one? Was it just, have you seen anything? 'Cause I had not even heard about this.
I heard week to week, but he's probably not going to play on Saturday against
Okay.
BC. Which, interesting enough, kind of a scheduling thing for the football nerds out there. Saturday is a night game, and the Saturday after that against Ohio State is also going to be a night game in East Lansing. So lots of night games for a team that doesn't really get a lot of them. That'll be 4 in 5 weeks, I believe, for the Spartans, or
Can I give
four,
you something
6 weeks.
crazy? The week after against Oregon is a night game.
Is a night game. Yep.
But it
Yeah.
kind of has to because it's in
Yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah. So get used to the night lights, Spartan fans.
yes. I actually didn't know I didn't know the Ohio State game. I have our schedule because I wanted to talk about Boston College and OSU still listed as a TBD, but that is actually pretty cool that Ohio State is a night game. Maybe you're in there 4-0, potentially ranked. Maybe the fans think they got a shot, and then Ohio State will just curb stomp us. But we get there when we get there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, before getting to Boston College, I guess maybe is there anything else in the college world from week three that is even worth mentioning? Like I think there was two ranked matchups. One was Arizona, Kansas State, which Kansas State slaughtered Arizona in. There
Yeah.
was Boston College, Missouri. Like you mentioned, Boston College played them close and okay. Outside of that, you had LSU struggle with a South Carolina team. Cool, whatever. And then you and I just discussed this. Georgia with a 13-12 victory at Kentucky. I wish I could tell you why this game was as low scoring or what happened to Georgia or what's going on, but I can't because I watched none of this. So I really have nothing more to add. It's unfortunate. Like I said, I did make up for this. I was very active and very attentive on Sunday for the NFL game, so I'll be able to contribute there. But I can't do it. I'm going to shrug my shoulders, turn it over to you. What do you want to
Yeah,
talk about?
one thing I think I'd even like to add off of that is another team that's ranked team that struggled this week was the other team in Michigan. That was the Michigan Wolverines, 28-18 against Arkansas State, in a game that was kind of close until the end. It took Arkansas State kind of came back. I believe they scored 15 unanswered before Michigan scored a touchdown to kind of go ahead in this game. Michigan was up big at the
Can I
half.
stop you?
Yeah.
It was 28-3, and then Arkansas State scored two touchdowns with 5 minutes left and 8 seconds left to make it look closer than it
Okay,
was.
so it wasn't 15 unanswered. So, all right. Never mind. But
Technically it was 15 unanswered. It's just it was I think this was a
in the
game
wrong
where
order.
this is what yeah, this is one of those little backdoor cover. Actually, I'm pretty sure they were up by a lot more, but this is just one of those where you were in control the entire time again. I did not watch. I can't, but based on box score watching, it looks like they did what they needed to do, which was beat an inferior team. And I did hear one thing kind of in the lead up for Michigan, just throughout some of like the local talking heads of the sports world here. And they were talking about how if you're Michigan and you have Arkansas State, you might as well treat them as some kind of live practice, try some shit out, go have, not necessarily go have some fun, but use it more of as an experiment for future games because they get USC next week and try and get back on the right track kind of after just getting shell-shocked by Texas. So yeah, the scoreboard obviously looks very ugly. I don't know how much stock to put in this because I think for Michigan, maybe they did treat it as a look like here's a rolling bye week for us, no injuries, get our stuff right and get ready for Miller Moss to come in and hopefully destroy us.
Yeah, I look at the box scores and things that this Khalil Mullings had just as many carries as Edwards for twice as many yards. Granted, there's a 40-yarder in there. That's something to look for going forward as Donovan Edwards has kind of struggled yet again out of the gate. I guess you can't really call 4.8 yards a carry struggling, but it was against Arkansas State. And then, I mean, Alex Orji threw four passes as well, so it looks like they're still trying to do that. Yeah, like you said, I guess I shouldn't put too much stock into this, but they go in and have to play a much, much better opponent next week. The only other notes I really even had in college was Notre Dame. I know this Purdue team is really bad. It's actually, I read an article today. It is the only team that Michigan State is favored against the rest of the season.
Let's go.
Yeah. Now, like, then the article was like Indiana and Rutgers are in there and they're kind of coin flips with State right now. So you really like, You don't know come mid-November where either of those teams are going to be at. But as of now, that would be the only one. But Notre Dame, after struggling, goes out and wins 66-7 to a Power Five team. Something of note. I mean, you look at just their other ranked teams, nobody really put anybody even worth noting down. Because pretty much all the ones besides you mentioned all played smaller schools, and nobody really had any scares besides that.
Not a great week of college football.
I guess the most impressive win besides the one that we haven't talked about is Alabama pumped Wisconsin.
Is that even impressive? I mean,
I
Wisconsin
don't.
was losing to Western in the fourth quarter
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
and their quarterback got hurt in that game too. That so,
Tyler Van Dyke, that actually might be a benefit for him. He's awful.
yeah, and he's like 30 too.
Yeah, I think he's in
Yeah,
our
I don't have
freshman
much else for
class.
college, to be honest.
No, I've got nothing.
All right, so let's move to the NFL.
Yeah, so it's
Kind of like we always do, we'll start with the Lions. The Lions are 1-1, and before Vladdy goes off and kind of gets into the problems that were, because there were a lot of problems in this one. I might remind you that we sat here last year in the same spot. They got a big win in a primetime game in week one, came out into a team that they probably should have beat, but wasn't a bad team, lost in week two, and we're still fine. So I like would like to preface that for Lions fans. This Buccaneers is not a bad, they're not a bad team to start. The NFC South, I think, has played a little better than people think, the way the Saints and the Bucs have started now. So they're going to be a playoff team too. Actually, after you thought we would have played two playoff teams, but the way the Rams week went today,
Oh, the
yesterday,
Rams
I'm
are
not so
broken.
sure.
The Rams have like 15 players on IR and it's only 2 weeks into the season. So
But no matter. Lions lose 20-16. Where do you want to start? Do we start with Dan? Do we start with Jared Goff? All of them, kind of, or all of them. I only named two people, but all of them. Both of them, I think, are the clear indicators of taking a step back and costing their team a game in some sense.
I'm actually going to start with a positive, and it's a guy that I've been very critical on because I
Yeah.
don't think he's been consistent enough. And hopefully we can keep this consistent because we've seen Aiden Hutchinson have explosion games before where he puts up two, three sacks before. Obviously, we've not seen him put up four and a half before. That was crazy. But
And that half really shouldn't have been a half, to be honest. It was all
Yeah,
him,
he did
too.
kind of trip him, and the other guy just happened to be there and touch Baker, and they gave him
Yeah.
the half. Yeah, but. I just think that I can't sit here. It would not be fair to me to only bash him and then to try and sweep this under the rug and go straight to the negatives because Aiden Hutchinson and he pretty much so single-handedly kept the Detroit Lions in the game with like, and here we go again. Here's gonna be Hater Vladdy. They made it so easy for him. He was going up against a second string tackle in one-on-one for the entirety of the first half, which was hilarious. Like I don't I mean this like what were the Bucks doing? How do you let leave a second string tackle on Aiden Hutchinson one-on-one after he's killed? You know what? He kills you once, okay. He kills you a second time. Hey guys, maybe we should consider changing this up. I think he had three sacks in the first half, if not four. And they finally realized maybe we should line up a tight end on his side so he can get a little chip, or maybe we should keep the running back in pass pro for a little longer. Didn't really change much. He was still there. It was an insane performance from him. So absolutely he's got to get his flowers. Leads the NFL in sacks with five and a half after 2 weeks. That's a ridiculous number.
There's not even a team with that many sacks right now,
That's
is the
awesome
stat
as
I
well.
saw today.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, if I want to jokingly be the hater, he has played against AJ Arcuri and then a second string tackle in his two games. So hopefully he can start putting up some numbers against the NFL tackles too. But that's just me sitting here bantering about. But no, he was sensational. Every single play, you kind of sat there and you're like, all right, here we go, here we go. He's coming, he's coming. And that's about all I can really say on the positives. I mean, maybe we can say congrats to Jameson Williams for kind of following up his big week one with another productive week two.
Yeah.
After that,
Amon-Ra came alive a little bit.
I honestly can't even sit here and be happy for him. He was force-fed 20 targets.
Yeah.
Like, congrats on putting up meaningful stats, but or meaningless stats, but Jared
Oh,
Goff
and you
probably
throw the ball
torpedoed.
55
Jared
times.
Goff probably torpedoed the team more than he helped the team by getting it to Goff, because he would routinely overlook Sam Laporta wide open on an under route, which,
Yeah.
speaking of under routes, we'll get to those. So let's try and start chronologically. Let's start with the blunder at the end of the first half. Dan Campbell came out. He did it during the game. He did it in the presser afterwards, and I'm sure during his many weekly media interviews this week, he'll say the same thing. I fumbled this. I botched this. And behind closed doors, he uses magical words like "I fucked this up" that he can't say in front of camera because he's an NFL head coach.
I love that he referred to himself, the Lions coach messed this up. He referred to himself in the third person. Dan Campbell did okay, but the Lions head coach messed this one up.
I mean, that was an absolute debacle. The clock management there was, it was basically an homage to his first year or year and a half as the head coach, where he couldn't get any decisions right, he couldn't do anything right, and he was still learning on the job. I thought some of the play calling on that final drive was also questionable, and we'll get to play calling in Ben Johnson, but 10 seconds left, clock running. Ball, you throw a ball underneath in the middle of the field, so you have no shot to get out of bounds. The offense is up and ready to spike it, and for some reason, we've got 18 dudes on the field because Dan Campbell sent the kicking team out. Which, how could you ever think that was going to work? Forget it, like, forget about the whole concept of, oh, it was only third down, he should have known that we could have clocked it. By what logical thought process is Dan Campbell, did you think that you could get seven or eight new guys on the field, seven or eight guys off the field, have your kicker line up and get a snap in 10 seconds? That was n forget about the fact the down and you should have just let trusted your offense to figure it out. How do you think that's going to happen ever?
Doesn't know how to count.
That, I mean, that was ridiculous what he did. So again, we can't sit here and bury anyone, like you said. We did this exact same show 12 months ago, probably to the week or to even the day. So it the sky's not falling. You look around the NFL, the Ravens are 0-2, the 49ers lose a game,
The
the
Bengals.
Cowboys get shat on, the Bengals have not won a game. Like, the NFL, I say it all the time, there's a reason why it's a cliche. There's no such thing as a free game. Look at the Patriots taking Seattle to overtime. Patriots could be 2-0, and everyone sat here penciled them in as 1-16. There is no guarantees. There's no freebies. So it is what it is. But the only other thing I want to bring up with Dan Campbell before we get to what, in my opinion, was the real kind of killers of the team. Because yes, Dan Campbell deserves massive blame for that. But you had an entire half afterwards to make up for it, and they didn't. So if I have to give Dan Campbell some blame, he can take 20% for all I care. The only other thing that I potentially have, and this is not like a yell and scream, this is more of just like a potential thought that I had this morning. When we punted on the Tampa Bay 41, it was like fourth and seven, and it's like, you signed a kicker who you know, you've seen him in a game, now albeit not an NFL game, less pressure, less fans. You've seen him hit from 60 plus in your stadium. What do you sign him for if you're not going to let him kick?
50, what would that be
It'd
from?
have been a 58, I think.
56,
58.
58.
So, again, I'm well aware of the flip side. If he misses that, Tampa Bay gets the ball at the 45-yard line, and they are now a first down away from them being in field goal range and then extending the lead to a touchdown. So, for me, it was just more of maybe a questionable decision. I don't think it was a right or a wrong one. And to be fair, on the very next series, they pretty much were three and out. I think they ran four plays and then punted it right back to us before Goff went full Goff. But like again, the defense played very well, and I guess my thought process was in the morning was, your defense has played sensational so far. Why don't you just sit there, try and get these points, and trust the fact that even if you miss, you'll get the ball back. So that was my thought process again. It's not like some of the other decisions where I can sit there and just be like, well, you really, really cost your team the game here, because he didn't cost his team the game there, but you could have had a difference in what you were trying to go for at the end of the game had that happened. And Again, I obviously have, I can't sit here and just assume that a 58-yard field goal is a chip shot. It's not free, it's not guaranteed. So that was just another thing that kind of I thought about this morning where I was like, maybe in hindsight that could have been a better call. And obviously hindsight is 20/20. It's undefeated. So can't really get caught up on that. After that, where do you want to go? Do you want to go golf or Ben Johnson?
Ben Johns.
I love it. You want to start a bit before I let me catch my breath?
No, I think you're cooking right now. I have more reservations for,
Oh, I'll go.
I mean, go ahead. It's a lot of frustrating calls, and it seems like they, and I hate this because it was brought up by somebody in the media, I forget who, about how the Lions play and call based on like the fact that they are going for it on fourth down, and that now that the league knows that they're going to change up their approach to how they play the Lions. And that kind of, there was too many examples of that game where it just kind of felt like they were playing for fourth down instead of actually trying to get a first down on that play. And I mean, you only score one touchdown in the game, so I don't know. I you probably have more specifics, but that's just my main takeaway looking away. It's just like I don't care for the way they're set. A lot of these drives are set up on first down now with the expectation that you're gonna have fourth and three, or that you want fourth and three. Why not go get a first down on second down or third down?
Yeah, do what happens to the Lions defense all the time. We get a team in third and long, and they convert every single time on our defense. I swear to God, I've never seen our defense get off the field on a third and long. Why don't you try that? Why don't you try throwing it down the field? You're right, because that play calling all day was a joke. These little dink and dunk, the quick outs, the little jump passes out there to Jameer. At one point, I saw Jared Goff running a speed option. Are you out of your fucking mind? What? I have no idea what and the thing that makes it even more infuriating is when you look at what Tampa Bay lost, because Vita Vea gets hurt in the game. Kalijah Kancey out of the game. You're playing a team which is missing both of its starting defensive tackles, including the best probably run stopper in football in Vita Vea. And you throw the ball 55 times. And not only that, you were never trailing by a lot. I understand if you're like the Rams and the Cardinals, you're down 21 nothing inside 10 minutes. It's like, well, shit, now we got to rip up the game script because we got to score points if we want to have a chance. I understand if that's the case. You were never down.
You were down, they were never down by more than a touchdown.
What were we doing? Everyone knows the Detroit Lions. Physical, smash mouth, David Montgomery, he gets tired. Jahmyr Gibbs, he gets tired. David Montgomery comes back in, he gets tired. Jahmyr Gibbs comes back in. Everyone knows the Lions love running it down your throat. And you had the golden opportunity to do that. And you never even tried.
No.
They never even stopped you either. We averaged 5 yards per carry. That's good. 5 yards per carry, and they just got away from it.
And going back to the not throwing it down the field thing, I guess that kind of brings me into more a little Jared Goff is because it's gotten to the point now where just after 3 weeks where I sit back and a guy that last year, when he sat back in the pocket, I knew that he had a plan with the ball and that it was going to the right spot most of the time. I can't say that now. He threw two pretty bad interceptions in this one after a bad pick last week where he's just seemingly not seeing guys like he was last year. And I don't know. I've seen stuff online that, oh, it's like the offensive line hasn't been perfect like they were essentially last year, and maybe that's the case, but they shouldn't have to be perfect for Jared Goff to complete more than what is 34 out of 55, 60% of his passes with no touchdowns and two interceptions, and only average 5.5 yards a throw. And there's been some pretty poor quarterback play in the NFL, I think, around the
Oh,
league
yeah.
that we'll get to, but Jared Goff is kind of belonging on that list so far.
Yeah, he's played bad. Let's get to him because we talk about the play calling, but he is the guy who chooses where to throw the ball. Ben Johnson doesn't force him to throw it one way or another. You talk about the two interceptions this week, the one last week. He honestly, I think that's lucky. He should have four, five, six interceptions
Yeah.
based on some of the stupid throws and drops that the other teams have kind of given us and gifted us. The last two drives when you're trying to get down the field and you know time's at a premium because you've kind of started to call your timeouts and Jared Goff is still completing 3 yard out routes into a guy who's getting tackled and taking 30 seconds off the clock each time. You've got to be smarter than that. Like, you're not a rookie. You're almost a decade into your career. You have to realize that 30 seconds is a lot more important than second and seven. It's okay to throw the ball away. I'll talk about a quarterback as well who also probably needs to learn that. Well, once we get to the Sunday night game, but it's okay to throw the ball away if it's going to save you in the long run. It doesn't hurt you. And then that last throw where, I mean, he undersells Jamison Williams, and it's like, what was your hope if he had caught that pass? Like, had J-Mo caught that pass, what was your hope? That he was gonna walk past six guys?
Yeah.
Not a like, that's the other part is we got down to, I think, the 20-yard line more or less twice on the last two drives, and not a single time did we
Yeah.
throw it at the end zone. I don't even think we threw a pass past the first down line, except for the Jamison Williams one, once they gave it up and they're like, oh yeah, we know you got to score a touchdown, so come on, go for it.
Yeah,
That was,
the red zone blunders were real.
yeah.
You only scored one time down there. They had three short field goals. You can't. At least one, maybe even two of those has got to be a touchdown. And that's the difference in the games. You can't execute in the red zone. You turn the ball over on offense. You probably don't have a very good chance to win this league.
Yeah. I think maybe the last thing I want to turn around on Ben Johnson is it. I was listening to just one of the, I forget who it was, but they were talking about how multiple executives came out this offseason and said, look, Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions are going to be the most studied offense this offseason because they ran roughhouse on the entire league. And obviously, I can't sit here and write indictments after 2 weeks, but I'm starting to get nervous, and the panic meter is starting to come up a little bit that the NFL catches up always. The only time they don't catch up is if you have generational quarterback Tom Brady or generational quarterback Patrick Mahomes. It's the only time it works out for you in the long run. But I'm starting to get nervous that Ben Johnson is potentially been figured out, and he's not making adjustments himself. Like I said, there is no reason why you couldn't just look across the field. See that Vita Vea no longer has a helmet on or isn't even on the field anymore, let alone the actual line of scrimmage. You probably should have realized, oh, this guy's probably in the locker room. Maybe I can run the ball a couple times to see what happens. I get a little nervous that I have my game script and I have to stick to it because all week long, everyone talked about, oh, this team has a banged up secondary. Oh, Jared Goff usually throws for 400 yards a game against him. Oh, you're going to have a great time passing the ball. Sometimes it doesn't work, and you need to have a plan B. You need to have a plan C. You need to be able to, I'm trying to think of the right word, and I don't want to say check out of what your initial thought was, but you need to be able to evolve on the fly. And through 2 weeks, he hasn't really shown that. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, like you said at the beginning, we do have to keep a level head. It's 2 weeks. We were in the exact same situation, and then the team just started rolling. And I would love to see that happen because that would make these episodes a lot easier and a lot more fun. And we could do this with a smile on our face instead of the feelings of internal blood boiling. But that's where I'm starting to kind of get to, and that scares me a little.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I'm looking at the Bucks stat line now that they won this game with this stat line.
Oh yeah, we over doubled them up on yards. We over doubled them up on first downs. Time of possession, we won that.
Baker Mayfield, 12 of 19, 185 yards, a touchdown, and interception. He was their leading rusher with 34 yards. Aside from Chris Godwin, Mike Evans went 3 for 42. No one else had more than 20 yards. Chris Godwin obviously had 117 of the 185. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. They lost the. Oh no, they recovered that fumble. But anyways, just crazy that I don't know. And it's like you mentioned that the offense was kind of just ran the league last year, and For better or worse, the defense was somewhat of a problem. Obviously, it couldn't have been too much when they when you win 12 games, but the defense has not been the problem so far.
Not at all.
Which take that as you may. There's a couple of different ways you can take it after 2 weeks, unfortunately. But they're going to go and play a pretty sneaky Cardinals team in Arizona. Kyler Murray looks like he's back to the guy that Vladdy used to talk about him as 5 years ago. Marvin Harrison comes off his kind of coming out party, I guess, after a struggle, a bad week one. And then you get a little stretch here where you play a good Seahawks team, a good Cowboys team, and a frisky Vikings team. So you never know. You can't let this thing get too far off the rails here.
No, there's I think we've been talking about this with you. We've been talking about it with some other friends. I understand like the whole concept of first place schedule and everything, but the entire schedule for the Lions is off, like awful. The only team I can confidently look at and say we are superior to this team and we should easily beat them is now the Titans. Every other team I can see posing a problem for us one way or another. And even the Titans have had a pretty good defense to start the year. Now, obviously, Will Levis continues to put up an America's Funniest Home Videos compilation and montage of turnovers. And
He's got to learn how to take a sack too.
oh my God, some of these videos are hilarious from the last 2 years. And it's pissing off the coach. I don't know if you've seen Callahan talk about it. He's like, this is a grown man. He's costing us points and he's costing us games. So he might not be the starting quarterback for
Yeah,
year
not the
one.
guy that that regime drafted either. So,
No, not at all.
I think the Jaguars really suck too, looking at the schedule.
They do suck. Trevor Lawrence, generational bum, generational bust. He's just a game manager with long hair and a pretty cute high school recruit ranking status. I hate that guy.
So you want to talk about a high school recruit status that has worked out even worse than Trevor Lawrence, and
Sure.
that's the man who's no longer the starter for the Carolina Panthers,
Oh,
Bryce
boy.
Young.
Yeah.
He gets benched. They get pumped yesterday. I mean, I saw a stat that he threw the ball more than 8 yards down the field just two times in that game yesterday.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
But on the other side of that, Jimmy Harbaugh's got that team. He is an NFL coach, man. He is a good one, and they're going to be frisky all year the way he's got that team playing behind him. I know it's just the Panthers, and it's pretty easy when they've lost by a combined like 75 points, but I don't know. So kind of moving in over to the rest of the league. Do you want to talk about the upsets? Because there were a couple.
Sure. The Raiders go into Baltimore and somehow beat the Ravens. I have no idea how this happened. This was one of the few games I did not watch from the early slate, which this early slate was awesome.
Yeah, it was
I was
awesome. Too many games. I hate when they do this. There was 10 games in the early slate and only like three in the later slate. I like a
yeah.
more evened out slate.
It yeah, that's true. That is annoying, but from those games, I think only two of them were not one score games. And like that's the NFL's wet dream. Every game coming down to the 2 minute warning, the last couple drives. Yeah, I can't really specifically talk about the Raiders and the Ravens just because I didn't watch it. But hey, Gardner Minshew, Antonio Pierce, I mean, I talked about it beforehand. They play for this coach, they like this coach, they love this coach, and they're gonna go die for this coach. And that's usually a recipe to be a very, very tough out.
There's a lot of teams that people thought that were going to be bad that have proven that they're not maybe going to win nine plus games, but they're not going to bend over and lose every game.
Yeah. I
And the
mean,
Raiders are one of them.
yeah. Deshaun Watson with a nice little comeback party, if you will, against Jacksonville, to kind of move the Browns to 1-1 and probably save his. We want to talk about people whose jobs are on the line. He maybe
For the
save his
week.
job with James Wiseman with Jameis Winston sitting behind him. We quickly mentioned the Titans and the Jets. The Jets win their first game of the year, and Aaron Rodgers' first win in probably 2 years or a year and a half since whenever before the Lions beat them to end the 2022 regular season. The first game that I'm kind of going down the list here that I actually was able to watch from the early slate that was not the Lions was the Vikings and the 49ers. This was the other game that was on CBS. The Vikings moved to 2-0. And it was weird because Brock Purdy struggled. Jordan Mason was good enough. I mean, he put up 100 yards, a touchdown, 5 yards per carry. It was, I kind of expected the 49ers to be able to do what they did to the Jets, which was just kind of lean on him, and let Purdy do what Purdy's good at, which is once the defense creeps in, then you can hit him with a play action or some kind of ropey dope and get one of those playmakers out in space. But they could never really get it consistently going. Something always seemed to go wrong. You had a blocked punt early on where that kind of allowed the Vikings to quickly get off the board. You had a rare Kyle Shanahan being aggressive moment where you have where you're out on downs, and you just you ever so it just was weird. Something always seemed to go wrong. That's on the 49ers side. I can't sit here and not give credit to the Vikings because 2-0, you draft this quarterback that everyone knows how I feel about him, probably how you feel about him. He ends up getting hurt. Sam Darnold turns out to be not the bridge guy for a couple weeks. He turns out to be the bridge guy for a year, and he's playing great
Yeah.
football. It's the Vikings have some great coaches, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores. They've got some sound people in the GM box where they're making some good draft picks. And this is a team that I think I definitely underestimated coming into the season. I have a friend at work who's a very big Vikings fan, and he's always like, "Oh, dude, like this is gonna be our division. We're gonna be sick." And I'm like, "Nah, you're a year or two too early. You got to figure it all out." No, they looks like they've got it figured out. I mean, no Jordan Addison. Justin Jefferson doesn't care. He'll just catch a 97-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Jalen Naylor
I was gonna
coming
bring
out of
that up.
nowhere.
I was gonna say, did you have Jalen Naylor as their second leading receiver in the game on your bingo card? I don't think anyone did. What a
No,
great.
but he's also played very well. Like he's turned it, he's kind of assumed that KJ Osborne role of the last couple of years in Minnesota. It's just that reliable wide receiver three, your Josh Reynolds, if you will, your Juwan Jennings, if you will, kind of some other guys who fit that role across the board. And they're rolling. I mean, Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler form a good enough 1-2 punch. We'll see what happens. They have the Texans, then they go Packers and Jets, then they have us. So it's not like they get
Oof.
a bunch of cupcakes either. So they'll have to kind of continue to prove their worth. But this is a team that looks like they're going to be competing for the NFC North title with the Lions.
Yeah. And on the 49ers side, I mean, one of those, I feel like they're always due for one of these games
Oh yeah,
somewhat
they
early
always
on in
do.
the year. So I don't really put too much stock into it on the 49ers side.
No, and it's tough to put stock into anything this early. I mean, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Saints. The Saints offense has been electric through two games.
Yeah, they look like the best team in football right now.
Yeah, I think what if they put up 47 and 44?
Yep.
Yeah, they got 91 points through two games of football. That's wild for the NFL. They walk into Dallas and absolutely destroy the Cowboys. I mean, you had the Giants and the Commanders. The Commanders win a football game by kicking
Seven
stupid
field
field
goals.
goals.
Yep.
That's hideous.
What exactly, that was exactly what that game was going to take, to be honest.
Yeah, and
The Giants didn't have a kicker. Their kicker gets hurt on the opening kickoff.
yeah.
Apparently he was, I heard he was dealing with a groin issue the night before, and they only had 52 men on the roster, so Brian Daboll actively chose not to get a punter, and then he ended up re-aggravating the groin on the very first play of the game. No punter, even though you could have had it with the roster spot. So,
Yeah, and that's funny because that honestly led to a lot of mischief with him. You
yeah.
had two touchdowns at the Giants score, and they have to, or no, they had three touchdowns at the Giants score, and they have to go for 2 points every single time because they don't have a kicker.
Yep.
They go 0 for 3 on that. So they just give away points to Washington. You had a bunch of, from what I read, a bunch of like fumbles, downs, just a bunch of stupid penalty yards that kill drives. Like from what I read, this was more of the Giants losing the game versus the Commanders winning it.
Yeah. And I'll say this, Jaden Daniels, early season rookie of the year for quarterback.
I
As
mean,
everyone else, Bo Nix looks like he is in Game of Thrones getting his head cut off. And Caleb Williams, as bad as he been, that Like even last night, that offensive line, who was going to be throw anything with that offensive line performance yesterday? But he's also looked very bad. And
Yeah, I
Jaden
mean,
Daniels, at the very least, looks like he can run the ball. I don't know. So.
yeah, like I said, it's very tough to kind of give predictions after 2 weeks, but if we want to go with some other names, I mean, Malik Nabers has had two solid games, but he also gets force-fed targets at an obscene rate. I don't know if you saw, Daniel Jones had 28 passing attempts yesterday. 18 of those attempts went to Malik Nabers. That's just outrageous.
Yeah.
Getting like a 65% of your target share as a receiver, as in anybody, that's
Right.
unsustainable. But maybe it is. Maybe that's just what's going to happen with Giants all season. I don't know. I don't want to keep talking about garbage and garbage, so we're going to talk to garbage and slightly less garbage. And that is the Anthony Richardson-led Indianapolis Colts and the Malik Willis-led Green Bay Packers in a very ugly, very brutal game. And I can't really blame the Packers. You have Malik Willis on a short week. You can't really run an offense with him because you don't trust him. And so they just pounded the rock. 53 rushes for 261 yards. Once again, that is Mark D'Antonio's wet dream. Only 12 passing attempts. You had what was supposed to be a passing attempt, but the center pukes on the ball and then Malik Willis has to run with it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, I've never, that's hilarious. I've never heard of that, but more power to him.
Malik Willis, not a football guy for refusing to throw the puked on ball.
Yeah, what a coward. But on the flip side, you have the classic Anthony Richardson experience.
Yeah.
17 of 34, so another game where he's completing 50% or worse of his throws. Three of his throws were completed to the wrong team. I'm going to do a slight bit of box score watching because I don't totally remember these exact plays, but two fumbles for him, though none of them were lost. They were both picked up. It's just, what are we doing? Like, again, he's young. We're not going to sit here and indict people, but as fun as he is, as crazy as the physical talent is, as much entertainment as you get watching him on a fantasy scoreboard, you cannot be an NFL player or an NFL quarterback if you complete 50% of your passes. So we'll see what happens. I don't really have much more else to say there, just because, like I said, it was. What am I supposed to say about the Packers who run the ball 59 or 53 times? Like, that's just never going to happen again. Like, you can't pretend like this is what they want to do. This is just they made do with what they could, and it got them a
Yeah.
win. So what am I going to sit here and yell at them for? So
I guess looking down, probably the next biggest thing of note is Bengals Chiefs.
oh yeah, I was a, that was a very fun game to watch.
Chiefs inevitable back and forth. At least the performance where I could sit there and say, you shouldn't be too worried the Bengals are 0-2. I think they have their own issues with the two wide receivers. T. Higgins is may or may not be faking an injury. Ja'Marr Chase said he's disappointed in the front office and he had his own meltdown on the field today or yesterday. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes is inevitable. And I do love the, like, we get so, I guess, conditioned by, like, the Chiefs are good. We have to complain because the Chiefs get every call. That when an actual call happens that benefits them, that is probably a good call, that we just go crazy because everyone online went crazy about the pass interference call at
Oh,
the
it
end of
was
this one.
PI.
It was blatant PI. He tackled him over the top before the ball got there. But because it's the Chiefs and because this always seems to happen for them, is it always seems to happen for them, or it's the Chiefs are a good team, so when you give them these opportunities, you notice them more because they take advantage of it? Probably a little of both. But needless to say, they end up going down there. And as you know, now that because Justin Tucker is mid, the best kicker in football, Harrison Butker, wins them the game.
I'm actually very glad you brought up the Justin Tucker demise. One of seven from 50 plus in the last 2 years, including four or five in a row. But I do want to answer your thing. I think it is a combo of both of the Chiefs, where they're such a well-oiled machine. They're so well run with Mahomes, kind of just picking you apart cerebrally now, not just physically with a, oh, screw it, Tyreek's down there somewhere type throw, where you have to play perfect if you want to beat him. And sometimes you don't play perfect. Sometimes you have a stupid PI. And then you turn around and history is written by the guy who whines the most, which in this day and age is the loser. And that's why you always have this, oh my God, the Chiefs get every call. Because I assume if you look back at it, the only time I can really sit here and say, oh, like I feel like they do get a little bit of benefit of the doubt is because Mahomes is such an asset to the league, I feel like he gets protected a little bit more than other quarterbacks
Of
might.
course.
But that's not what happened today. So what am I going to sit here and say?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing you mentioned, the Marvin Harrison kind of coming out party. It's kind of crazy what happens when you can put the ball in his hands. They should maybe not next week because we need the Lions to win a football game, but maybe after that, they should try giving him the ball more often and not just giving him two targets against the Buffalo Bills. But that's just wishful thinking. The only other thing before we get to the Sunday night game, because I actually thought there was a little bit of storylines there, was the Pittsburgh Steelers are 2-0 and they've only scored one offensive touchdown. So, I mean,
It's the
Justin
most
Fields,
Steelers thing ever.
yeah, hey, Justin Fields is sitting there. He's running the game plan that they want to run, which right now is just bleed the clock, run everything down, and lean on our defense. And granted, they've played two bad teams to start the season, the Falcons and the Broncos. They've done exactly that. The defense has given up 16 points through two games. The offense, well, which by the way, the Steelers actually offense wasn't that bad against the Broncos. They had a touchdown called back for some sloppy flags. They had other big plays that were brought back. So I don't think this was totally some kind of anemic performance. They just kind of shot themselves in the foot and kept Denver around for much longer than they needed to.
Yeah, but it is kind of perfect too, I think, because like they've won while Justin Fields has played clearly not well enough to be the guy once Russell Wilson is healthy.
Oh,
So
I
you
think
don't
he
have to
has.
have that conversation.
Oh, I think he has. How are you going
Oh,
to
I
take him out?
don't.
You're winning. You're winning. What are
I
you
don't.
supposed to do?
I don't. Let's look at the stat line.
Oh, it's not great, especially against the Broncos. But like I said, you had a
13
touch.
of 20 for 115 yards.
Yeah. They're 2-0.
And
That's the game plan. Run the ball, kill the clock, lean on the defense.
17 for 23 for the guy hasn't even thrown for 300 yards in two games.
To be fair, though, the whole
One
league's not,
touchdown.
hey, the whole league's not throwing right now, so I don't
No,
want to
I
hear it from
know,
you. Vic
but
Fangio brought out that too high safety shell and nobody knows what to do anymore.
yeah.
No, I mean, you're right. I think Justin Fields will have a very, very short leash, and by that I mean he is the starter until he loses a football game, and once he does, if Russell Wilson's healthy, I think they go back to him. But I don't see how you take out a guy if they're winning. Like that's just my thought process. Like Bryce Young, you're not winning games, so you're awful. You need to come up. You need to come sit down on the bench. Like I just don't see how you do that.
Yeah. Last storyline, you said the Sunday night game.
Yes.
I fell asleep before this game even started, so fill me in.
Dude, so first of all, this was the longest Sunday night game I can remember. No overtime. It was going on at 11:50. I have no idea what happened to me. At one point, there was a member of the chain gang who like needed some like medical assistance, so they stopped the game there. And there were some coaches' challenges being thrown around like cotton candy. But holy hell, I do not recall the last time I've watched a non-overtime Sunday night game
And it was a
go.
low-scoring game.
Oh yeah, go into it was. It was almost midnight. Like I at one point I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm gonna fall asleep because I got work in the morning. And then I got up in my bed and I was like, you know what? I'm not that tired. And I popped it back out on the computer, but this game was slow. And that's not what really wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Caleb Williams. The sooner he realizes that this is not USC, the sooner the Chicago Bears will be a scarier team to play against because it was the biggest knock on him coming out. It's he plays hero ball and playing hero ball against Oregon State and a bunch of future insurance salesmen is okay. But playing hero ball where everybody's professional, everybody's lightning quick, he gets himself into pickles he doesn't need to get himself into. Last night, he had two interceptions, should have had a third that got called back for defensive holding. All three of them were ill-advised throws. The one that got called back to me was the worst one where he's running to his right. I don't know how he even sees Rome Odunze on the opposite side of the field and just launches it. It was probably like a 50-yard throw to be like a 12-yard gain, and it was intercepted. and thankfully gets called back. But I'm sitting there and it's like, you cannot possibly think that's a good throw. But he did it anyway. You had the same thing on the late interception where he throws into triple coverage as he's falling away. And this is kind of where I think I mentioned you got to get a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in you, where you have to realize that it's okay to take an incompletion. Sometimes that's even a good play, depending on what situation you find yourself in. And like there was a couple times where I will be fair to the guy. The offensive line did not help him very much. I saw one stat, and I don't believe this is true because I watched the game and it didn't feel like it, but maybe I just don't understand what defines the term pressure. But I saw a stat that on 37 passes, Caleb Williams was pressured 36 times. And I just don't believe that. Like, because again, I watched the game, but I didn't see that. Like, I mean, you consider two screen passes, you're already going to technically be wrong because the ball's out of your hand so fast. But I saw the stat. So the offensive line did not help him out. But he does have to be a little bit better on his side. They couldn't really get much going in the ground game. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries for 18 yards. Yuck. No Keenan Allen with injury. I mean, Rome Odunze kind of dropped a touchdown pass where they were on the goal line and Caleb kind of threw it up where only he could get it. It hit him in the hands. It wasn't an easy catch by any means, but I've always said if you're an NFL player and it hits you in both hands, you should probably come down with it because that's your job. But yeah, they were able to go once again, the defense. If you hold the CJ Stroud Texans to 19 points, you probably did a very good job. The defense kept them in that game. It seemed like the second half was always, oh my God, it's 16 to 10. And every single time the Bears got the ball, it's like, well, they have a chance to take the lead. And then they punt. And then it was, oh my God, the defense got it right back for them. And then it was, oh my God, we got a chance to take the lead. Interception. And then just kind of just one after another, that little rinse and repeat cycle. But as a team, from the Lions perspective, it's going to have to play the Bears twice. I hope Caleb Williams doesn't figure it out year one. I hope it takes him a little longer. Or I hope it just never figures it out, to be completely honest, because I don't like the guy. And he plays for a rival team. But the sooner he realizes that I cannot play hero ball because I am not that, actually, I'm not even saying that type of, there's no athlete that can do what he used to do in college. It's just, that's not how the pros work. It's too condensed of a talent gap or talent field. Everyone's close enough to each other and physically as well. So that was kind of what I wanted to talk about with Caleb. I'm kind of tapped out. Obviously, the Monday night game is going to be kicking off here in 20 minutes. I'll keep my eye out on Kirk Cousins to see if they can actually run the play action today. If not, yut yo.
Hopefully he can move slightly better.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got for this one, unless you got anything else to add.
No, this, like I said, very NFL heavy. Thank you guys for making it this far. We still actually got a pretty good time in, so I'm happy with us there. Hopefully next week we'll be back and we'll be able to do a little bit more 50-50 split instead of just heavily focusing on the NFL games, because I'm not going to always be able to do that and watch that, but it is what it is. I can't really give us a go Lions because the Lions had an unprofessional performance this past week, so I will end everyone off with a go green.
Yeah, go white, baby, undefeated.